Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. We are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Our guest is the distinguished comedian. He is Gilbert Gottfried, and we've been discussing incredibly obscure things with Mr. Gottfried. Among other things, I pointed out that he is a the modern-day chunky guy, Arnold Stang. Again, a very obscure reference, I apologize. But I'm glad that you were honored to feel in the same league as Mr. Stang. We do have a little... Here's his voice, if you remember from the old Chunky commercials. Here it is.
Chunky. What a chunk of chocolate.
I'm not saying you sound like him, but you have a very unique quality, all your own, so people recognize your voice. But Arnold Stang also was one of the gas station attendants in It's a Mad, 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 Etc. World. Along with Jonathan Winters, we were trying to remember the other guy, and it was the guy from Top Cat, Christy Itz.
Marvin Kaplan.
Kaplan.
Yeah.
Another guy you'd see and go,
Marvin,
that guy.
Marvin Kaplan I had on my podcast.
Oh, wow.
I invited him on. He was great. He was discovered by Katharine Hepburn. And so that's how he got in movies and everything. And, oh, he was terrific.
Wow.
And he was in one of the voices on Top Cat. And Top Cat had a lot of sort of New York voices.
Yeah, because, of course, Arnold Stang doing his Phil Silvers imitation. Because
wow.
It was supposed to be like Sergeant Bilko.
Right, right. How many obscure imitations do you have in your head there?
Oh, God.
Do you do any of them live, or are they just so obscure the audience stares at you?
It depends. Like, sometimes I love it when the audience is just staring at me.
Josh, do you remember any that Gilbert might have in this
foray? Yes, absolutely. I remember one special seeing you do the end, Marlon Brando's sort of speech from Apocalypse Now, but you did it as Elmer Fudd. And I've always wondered if comedian David Brenner had heard you do him.
Yes. I remember I would imitate David Brenner, and one thing was like. Sometimes I go out hunting for David Brenner's, and I have my hunting dog and my rifle, and then I take out my Brenner call. And then a flock of Brenners go flying by.
Gilbert Gottfried is our guest. Were you, when you were a kid at school, were you always Gilbert, or were you Gil or Bert?
Yeah, and any variation on it.
The kids didn't have a name for you? Okay. Were you doing imitations of the teachers at that point, or had you not discovered that was your talent?
Well, I was never the class clown. I mean, I always felt like the kids who were the class clown are the people who come up to me after a show and go, you know, I'm the funniest guy at my job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Now, we have a couple of news stories that Gilbert may want to comment on. Christy Lee is at the Bob and Tom news desk. Do you have anything of interest over there?
A Chinese condom manufacturer says it's considering making its products in larger sizes. Why, you ask? Because Zimbabwe's health minister has complained that the condoms made in China and exported to the African nation are too small for men in Zimbabwe.
I bet.
That's one of those that doesn't need. Yeah. It's where the setup is already offensive.
Yeah. This is from the Mr. Obvious Institute.
Yeah.
So they have to make bigger condoms for export.
Yes.
You know what I heard? That, you know, these condoms that are extra large and jumbo size, they fit anybody, those condoms.
It's just like a placebo effect?
It's one of these things.
To get men to buy them?
Yeah, they fit anybody. So if you buy a jumbo size condom and it fits you, you're going, wow, you see, I need the jumbo size.
Sure. That's quality marketing.
Yes.
But that does.
Yeah,
sort of...
like Hervé Villages could have worn the jumbo size.
Oh, look at me. I'm so red and dead. Oh.
I had someone on the podcast who said that Hervé Villages, who was really difficult to work with, which and he was offended and angered that Tom Selleck, who was Magnum at the time, was not only getting more money than he was, but more women.
I should be getting all of the women. Tom Selleck.
Now, I've been getting a lot of grief here, Gilbert, for something that I kind of latched onto a couple weeks ago.
I have
a feeling.
Stop it.
I have a feeling Gilbert's going to be on my side with this one. It was an obituary. I was really sad to hear that Marty Allen, the comedian, died.
Oh, yes.
And
he was sad. On the podcast.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Because Allen and Rossi.
Right.
And they followed the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I didn't know that.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow.
That had to be rough.
Oh, yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. But did you know this? Of course, Mr. Allen was famous for saying...
Hello, yeah!
Hello there. Oh, thank you for hello, dare, of course.
Did you know?
Did you know that this... I love this song. I've been playing excerpts of this. Everyone hates me for playing it, but I think you might enjoy this.
Hello there, hello there, hello there. Everywhere we go, we say hello.
Hello there!
Nailed it!
Yes.
Here's your check for $2 million. Thank you, Mr. Gottfried.
That's funny. Do you have a? Has your agent ever gone out and sought something for you, calling up some company and say, "Hey, you know, God, Gilbert Gottfried would be the perfect guy for this," or do you just wait for the phone to ring?
I wait for the phone to ring. Yeah.
Because the opposite would be true. There are so many things your voice would be so wrong for. Can you imagine?
Modest?
No, I was thinking in terms of like a documentary narration.
Oh,
who's the actor? The
March of the Penguins.
Who's the guy that plays?
Morgan Freeman.
No, there's a actor whose name I'm just forgetting.
Give us a hint.
They're beating everybody up. He's in Massachusetts. The Boston family there in L.A. Ray Donovan. That guy is like Mr. Voiceover.
Oh, Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber.
Oh,
yes.
He does all the sports things for HBO. Yeah, they're great.
I mean, can you imagine? For one of the serious documentaries, like the Civil War documentary, Gilbert's voice comes in and reading all those.
Ken Burns, Civil War.
One of those sad letters.
Dear Lydia.
Yes. and you know, a battle song during the Civil War. A battle song during the Civil War when thousands of troops perished on the battlefield and they all sang the following song. It was called Hello There.
Hello there, hello there, hello there.
James Mason, one more time.
Everywhere we go, we say
hello there.
And you didn't want to get up this morning. Are you kidding? And miss that? Oh my God. That there'd be so many things you'd be so wrong for, God.
Don't we talk about
KY
right?
Jelly?
You have trouble with lubrication.
Well, because everyone else talks about what he'd be good at. We bring him in and we had him on the phone a few weeks ago, and I said, "Gilbert, don't take this the wrong way, and don't think I'm a prick." Do you remember what you said? He said, "I already think you're a prick."
I was asking, a little too late.
I was asking you because you were born and raised in New York City, and a lot of my friends that experience that. There are two things they don't do that almost everybody else can do, and that's swim and drive.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are no pools around, or there are very few, and driving in Manhattan, if you grew up there or anywhere in greater New York, can be a difficult. You don't drive, do you?
No. But just recently, I actually drove a Ferrari.
Whoa.
I got invited on, you know, Jay Leno's garage, and it was out on a racetrack, and they actually put me behind the wheel of a Ferrari to go around the racetrack.
How did it go? I didn't see that one.
Yeah, well, amazingly, I didn't kill anybody.
Was it an automatic transmission?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, did you have to shift
gears?
I'm
sure it would have had.
Yeah. You, like, press a button or something.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wow, to jump in a car. And
you have no desire to learn how to drive?
I think now I'd be more scared. Yeah. You know, because, like, when you're, you know, years ago, I would have said, okay, let me give it. Now I've gone so long without driving.
Yeah. How about, do you swim?
No.
Okay. Here's the original question from our phone call from not too long ago. Hey, Gilbert, can you swim?
No. There's a million things I can't do.
Yeah. I went to college in New York City with a lot of guys that couldn't drive or swim, and whenever I ask someone that, they act like I'm some kind of prick. But, yeah, if you grow up in the city, there aren't a lot of pools.
Yeah, I mean, just for the record, I think you're a prick.
So you've been listening to the show.
Oh, God. Just for the record, yeah. Clear it up.
How did we have that? Thank you, Dean. Jeez. Real quick, I want to remind you, Mr. Gottfried's going to stick around for a second. A couple things I want to remind you of. Gilbert Gottfried is a fascinating man, and he's got a podcast, and you can find that all over the place. And also, the documentary Gilbert is pretty much everywhere on YouTube, Google Play, Hulu, et cetera. You are on Twitter. What is it? The Real?
Oh, Real Gilbert.
Sorry. Real Gilbert.
And my website's gilbertgottfried.com, which I bought from a guy in Thailand, that title, gilbertgottfried.com.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know all about that.
Yeah. So it was a double insult. Number one, having to buy my own name. And two, how cheaply I
sold it.
Gilbert Gottfried spells
even
his last name.
He even threw in a Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, that's nice. Sorry to step on that. GOTTFRIED, Mr. Gottfried. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. Thanks for joining us. We are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. With us in the studio, we have a trio of comedians. Because we have our own little Joshy right there.
All wearing plaid. I guess you have to you have to wear plaid if you want to be funny.
That would be the legendary Gilbert Gottfried, and that would be our good friend comedian Greg Warren, former high school state wrestling champ, All-American.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried, not a high school wrestler, I'm guessing.
Well, you know, I wear this shirt to cover the bulk as a wrestler.
Now, we've been experiencing some of Gilbert's amazing impressions, some of them very, very obscure.
And my new hit song.
Oh, you mean the great song where James Mason joins in on the great song Hello There by Martin and Rossi?
Hello there, hello there, hello there.
Hello there.
Once again, James Mason doing Hello There. Is there ever an impression that you tried to do that you just couldn't nail?
Oh, sure. I could never imitate Donald Duck, that trick they do with their voice.
Yeah, I don't think I can't do it. We used to have a guy that
kind of
can
thing.
You do it?
No, I can't. I can just do that.
That's enough.
That's not enough. He does a little more volume.
No, I know. I can't make it louder either. Yeah.
Jim, can you do Donald Duck?
No, I can't.
Okay, good.
I know someone who can.
Hey, I'm Donald Duck.
There he is.
That's
Donald Duck.
It's close, Greg. It's close.
I have a problem with the volume, too.
See, the thing is, that's what's going to happen in our culture. Donald Duck will be politically incorrect because you're mocking a speech impediment. So Donald Duck will eventually, he'll have to speak.
Every cartoon back then, particularly Mel Blanc.
Genius.
Yes, he would have a lisp, a stutter, everything, every kind of speech defect, now they'd be offended by every one of them.
Yeah, couldn't do it. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Is it Winkle? Bullwinkle? Sorry, we can't go with that. You must speak like a Midwestern newscaster. The reason I don't do cartoon voices. Now, we do have the three plaid comedians. Oh, no, we have what is the name for three comedians when they're together? Because you have it. You have a pod of whales.
Flock of seagulls.
Flock of seagulls. Oh, a bitter of comedians. Gilbert Gottfried, perhaps best known, I guess, is it for the parrot in Aladdin?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Do people ever come up to you with their kids and go, can you do the parrot for me?
Oh, sure.
That's what you're best known as?
I think. Well, what else?
I don't know, man. I mean, I guess it's because of when you grew up or whatever, but the Beverly Hills Cop thing is my favorite role you were ever in.
I was lucky because it depends what time period. The Beverly Hills Cop, definitely.
Oh, it was one of my favorite roles ever.
And then Problem Child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And The Aristocrats.
Yeah, of course, the movie of not The Aristocats.
No, very different.
Oh, right.
Let me clarify.
This is true.
Yeah.
The Aristocrats is a famous, what's the word I'm looking for, a bawdy joke.
Yes, comedians bawdy. Making movies.
Yeah. Retold.
Do you have a story about the Aristocrats?
At one screening of The Aristocrats, one woman in the middle of the film got up angrily and said, this isn't the Aristocats.
Wow. I have some explaining I'm going to need to do to my niece.
It took her till the middle of the film to figure
it
out.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, Greg, you were indeed a very fine wrestler. Did you finish high school, Gilbert?
No.
How far did you get?
Oh God, hardly anywhere. Yeah.
Were you making money as a comedian as soon as you got out, or did you have regular jobs?
No, I'd had regular jobs, and boy, it was like, you know, there was those years of, you know, just hanging out at these clubs, hoping they'd put you on. It was like, I remember being at some bar where I was supposed to meet a friend of mine, and I wasn't a place I worked, and I was sitting at the bar and they said, you want something? And I said, no, I'm waiting, I'm supposed to meet someone here. And he came over to me and gave me a glass of Coke, and he said, well, you know, here, you might as well. And I thought, oh, my God, a free drink? Because the clubs I worked at, when I was getting on every night, boy, you couldn't ask them for a seltzer. They charge you.
Wow. Now, did you have to audition for Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
And what did they ask you to do? Do you remember? Or did you just?
Oh, God. A couple of times they'd see me at the clubs, and then I would come in and I do bits there and improvise with other people.
How many seasons of SNL were you on?
Just one.
Just the one?
Yeah.
And who stuck around from that season? Piscopo and Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
And were any of the rest of them?
No.
Whatever happened to Denny Dillon, the leather girl?
I remember the last I heard she did something was that film United 23 or something. It was about that. You know, one of the planes.
Oh, yeah.
During the hijacking.
So fairly obscure. I real quick, I've got a little bit of the parrot voice, if you'd like to hear some of it.
All right, this magician.
Excuse me. That's not the parrot voice. Forgive me. That's the famous John Fox parrot joke, and here it is.
All right, this magician. He gets his job on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working his cruise ship, and he does his act every night. In the front row is the captain of the ship with a parrot on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So every night he does his act. Well, by the third night, the parrot starts figuring out this magician's act.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts heckling the magician. And, you know, it's in his sleeve. It's under his hat. His assistant has it. So that night, they hit an iceberg, and the ship goes down. The magician wakes up floating on a piece of driftwood, and the parrot is sitting on the end of the driftwood, and they stare at each other for 2 days and don't say a word. Mm-hmm. They just look at each other all mad. Finally, the bird goes, I give. Where's the boat?
There you go. That's the legendary John Fox. The late, great John Fox. And a parrot joke from a guy who's famous for being a parrot. Greg, do you have any impressions? You have a couple, don't you?
I have one.
Uh-huh, and that is?
It's Mike Damone from Fast Times.
Oh, yes. That's a good one, though.
This is my favorite.
Yeah. You know, Stacy, this is really great iced tea.
So Brett, good.
Look at you, member of the honor roll, assistant to the assistant manager of the movie theater. If she can't smell your qualifications, who needs her? I don't care if she comes, stays, lays, or prays. Whatever happens, your toes are still tapping. That's the attitude. It's the only one I got.
That's good, though.
It's the only one I got.
Yeah, yeah. He can do the whole movie.
I met him. I met him in a coffee shop.
What's the actor's name?
That is Robert Romanus.
Yes.
Does he still work a lot?
I worked with him. God, that's the worst thing you could say about anybody in show business. What you just said.
Is he still working?
Is he still with us?
Yeah, yeah. So far we've got Denny Dillon and Robert Romanus.
That's like the biggest insult.
Sorry.
You could say, when did he die?
Yeah, that's better than is he still working? Yeah.
I worked with him on a film. I'm sure you all have it at home on your DVD shelves or your Betamax shelves, on a movie called Bad Medicine.
About the doctors in Latin America.
Yes.
Fine film. I love it.
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube within the last
year.
This
is no lie. Greg called me after he watched it and we discussed it.
Yeah.
I love that movie. It's a great movie, Gilbert.
Julie Haggerty is
sure.
In it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Alan Arkin.
And I, from what I remember, I think there was... there was some hanky-panky going on between the young doctors down there.
Oh, and another actor who's in that, who later on was on my podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, is Bill Macy.
Oh, yeah.
The guy from Maud?
From Maud.
Yeah, not William H. Macy.
William H. Macy put in the H. Because you can't have the same name in the union.
And Bill Macy's in a terrific detective movie from the mid-70s, which I will look up as we speak, that's somewhat obscure. So I just did a little Google thing on your friend Robert Romanus. Works all the time.
Yeah.
CSI.
Look like now.
Cougar Town.
Pretty similar.
Yeah, he does look
an older version of Damone.
Does he really?
I met him in L.A. in a coffee shop.
Listen how excited Greg is.
I was so excited to meet him. I never bothered celebrities.
Did you do the impression?
I did. My friend was like, you got to go talk to him. I'm like, I'm not going to bother him. Then I go, hey, man, I'm sorry to bother you. I go, but when I was in college, I'm a comedian now. When I was in college, I just annoyed everybody with this impression. I think that's why I'm a comedian now. And he goes, you're a comedian, huh? I'm going to have to come check you out sometime.
Yeah. Awesome.
He was so cool, man. Yeah. He was so cool.
By the way, it looks like Bill Macy is 95 years old and still out there.
Man.
That's amazing.
On Family Guy, they have Peter at one point get on the phone with someone, and it's that scene from Fast Times.
Yes.
And they intercut it where he's talking to Romanus. And, you know, where it's like, you know, I left my wallet.
I don't know, Rad. I'm really busy.
Yes.
Watching that, dude.
And after the scene, Peter goes, and he was never seen again.
Romanus had a run on Will and Grace, like a 10-episode run on Will and Grace at one point. Yeah. But that movie, I love that movie that you're in, the Latin doctor thing.
Bad Medicine.
A fantastic movie.
And Bill Macy was in a great movie called The Late Show with Art Carney that's worth a look.
Yeah, with Lily Tomlin. Yeah. And
it's got one of my favorite scenes ever. Okay, I know I'm getting the signal. Mr. Gottfried has to go. Gilbert Gottfried, thanks again. And
well, I need my song to be played. Oh,
yeah, come on.
Your outro song, if you will.
God. Ladies and gentlemen, James Mason sings.
Hello there, hello there, hello there. Happy birthday, go be safe.
Hello there.
Goodbye, there.
Thank you, Christy.
Can we do one with Robert Romanus?
Yeah, sure. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Do you know where to come
in?
Can
you do that?
Do you know where to come in?
You may have to give me a point. Okay. I mean, I got to think about what should I. It's not a hello there, right?
No, yeah. No, not Robert Romanus.
No, he wouldn't
say
that.
That.
No, okay, no, I got it.
Okay, I'll want me to point?
Hello there. Hello there. Hello there. Happy Bobby go be safe.
I mean, I probably will.
Escort Mr. Gottfried out of the building. Thanks, Gilbert.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Thank
pleasure.
You so much.
On tour on occasion, yes. Check out his website, find out where he is, listen to his podcast, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks for all the joy you bring, Mr. Gottfried.
Yes.
What a pleasure it is to see you and to hear about some of the obscure people in the world that are still bringing us love and joy and fun.
This is your favorite show of all time.
Oh,
it's right
I,
up there.
Oh,
your
yes.
House.
I can't stand up right now.
I can hear how excited he was on the way in.
Oh, I know. Unbelievable.
Thanks, Gilbert. We have a lot to get to in the world of news from Christy Lee. Got to say hi to comedian Greg Warren.
Greg.
Playing the famous comedy Attic this evening and tomorrow. And let's grab a couple news stories and we'll see what's going on with Greg.
Well, we were talking a moment ago. Gilbert said he dropped out of high school. There's a college dropout making some news today. This person apparently loves college life so much, and not just the classes. Hunter College waging a court battle to evict a stubborn student who refuses to leave her dorm room some 2 years after dropping out of school.
Van Wilder.
Delaware native Lisa Palmer, who has not paid rent since 2016, refuses to leave room E579 at the school's co-ed dormitory, according to an eviction lawsuit filed in Manhattan Supreme Court. The 32-year-old has racked up a staggering $94,000 in unpaid residence hall charges on account of her continued occupancy.
I think my grandma went to Hunter College, actually.
Really?
Did she pay her tuition?
She did. She paid her way.
How could they can't just lock the door?
Yeah, I don't
know. Well,
You'd think that when she goes to the bathroom, wouldn't you just...
You're aware of the current climate on all colleges and universities right now, right? It's very... She has her own space, maybe.
She's squatting?
Well,
that's
kind of it, man.
Yeah.
That's a very harsh term,
No,
Tom.
If she's been living there for 2 years without paying
sure
rent and
toilet.
Not attending any classes.
I'm sure she has a functioning toilet.
Oh, of course. That would be nice.
Yeah, no, you don't use those kind of words.
Squatting?
Yeah, Chick, you're right, man. They probably declared this is a safe space, now the college will soon be paying her to keep it operating.
It's
so they don't hurt her feelings.
It's like the guy from Milton in Office Space, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's like a finance major, and she figured the best way to make money is to live here for free.
Sure.
That bugs me. I don't get that. Why can't they just lock the door?
You'd think there'd be a way.
Who's the comedian famous for saying, hit the Briggs, ugga-mug?
I can see his face. Who is that?
Oh, he's so funny. Curly hair.
Yeah.
Very handsome.
I'll get it.
We'll think of it. We have Christy Lee at the Bob and Tom news desk and other things. Do you have any of the cat stories? I'm sorry. That's not the one I wanted. Do you have the Jeff Goldblum story? I want to cheer Chick up.
I'm fine. Am I?
No, this is...
No, you're not.
This is so weird and obscure.
Looks like someone's pretty much on staff at a hotel, a fan of The Fly, a Singapore hotel, went above and beyond to accommodate a guest's request for a photo of actor Jeff Goldblum next to the bed. The Singapore Marriott Tang Plaza Hotel created a collage featuring Jeff Goldblum photos and placed it on the guest's pillow.
There were
also photos of the actor in the hallway above the TV and taped up in the bathroom. The guest, identified only as Mr.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. It sounds like something he'd do, actually.
It's actually Mr. Elliot, shared photos of the encounter on Reddit. Daniel Bernstein, the hotel's director of operations, said, quote, our guests come from all over the world, and we always do our best to accede to their requests and to create brilliant and memorable experiences.
Okay.
Some of those requests include one by a guest who asked for a 3-piece band.
Really?
I wonder if they were playing that song.
Now, I've asked for a 3-piece before when I'm at a hotel.
Have you really? Yeah.
It hasn't been
another who asked for the room to be decorated with stuffed toys. And a third to have a room decorated with imported seasonal flowers.
So this is a pricey hotel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why?
Yeah, I asked La Quinta the other day for the same stuff.
You didn't get any of it, did you?
None of it.
No, nothing.
And once again, if you haven't gone on YouTube and looked for Jeff Goldblum reviewing people who have Jeff Goldblum tattoos, you're missing out.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what's the name of the hotel? Very fancy. Very fancy hotel.
Marriott Tang. Singapore's Marriott Tang Plaza Hotel.
Was the
lucky it wasn't in Punjab.
I knew.
You know, I skipped right over that. I heard it and I was like,
I wonder what they charge for that.
I don't know.
I mean, is there, because you could probably get the real Nick Nolte for the same price to sit next to your bed when you walk in. Like North Dallas.
Tired. Hey, that was great, Josh. Do that again.
I'm not ready to go to sleep.
I thought Nolte was in here. Tired. He's dead on.
So what's his most famous movie? Jurassic Park?
48 Hours was a big one.
Goldblum.
Oh, Goldblum.
Yeah. Big Chill was the first one for him, kind of the bigger
Jurassic
one.
Jurassic Park, the big one.
Yeah.
He was in a movie, one of my favorite movies, with Lawrence Fishburne called Deep Cover. And I thought
kind of a thriller, kind of a cop movie, right?
Drug.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was great in that.
They made a porno knockoff of that.
Oh, Deep Cover?
Oh, yeah, what's that called?
They didn't have to change the title at all.
No, nothing. It was just Deep Cover, yeah.
We'll have the cat stories when we come back.
We have some great cat stories, and we have the movie Black Panther in the news.
Yes.
We have a story that will make Josh lose his mind.
Oh,
and we have the update about the famous Wilhelm scream. I can't believe you knew about this.
Yeah.
This is a legendary scream. Is this the one they used in that Ohio Player song? That famous scream is
one of the Ohio Players is a girl.
Definitely a girl.
Yep.
The Ohio Players thing is a woman.
And she actually gets stabbed in the studio.
Okay, good to know. When we come back, this is the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show. We're live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Chairs are all wet in here because we had such a great, exciting time.
Wow.
There's only one chair in here that could possibly happen to.
The point is, we're in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Coming up, the Napa Tool of the Week. With us in the studio, comedian Greg Warren, along with our engineer, the legendary Ace Cosby.
Hello, gang.
Gang?
I don't want to say hello there.
Are we Ace's posse now?
It's my understanding that it's my
Blood or Crip. No, go ahead. Blood or Crip.
It's my understanding that posse is passé.
Yeah, Ace didn't say you were his posse. just letting you know, Christy.
Boy, oh,
may
boy,
have,
oh
no,
boy.
No, no,
may
no.
I have misheard
no,
that.
No, how would Damone from Fast Times say that?
I mean, that's his posse.
Does he have a posse policy?
It's like last year when you fell in love with the girl with the photo mat.
It's exactly like that.
You bought $40 worth of film. You didn't even get her number.
It's Greg Warren, ladies and gentlemen, as Damone from Fast Times. Oh, God, that makes me feel so good. We also have a couple of things in the world of news to catch up with.
Huh? I love to say this. Chick, you are right.
I'm right.
Never hear this very often in this room, and I want you to get the accolades you deserve.
Well, I appreciate that left-handed comment. Go ahead.
Well, if you've ever suspected your cat might be plotting to kill you, you might be onto something.
Yep.
A new study from researchers at the University of Edinburgh shows many parallels between domestic cats and their larger feline brethren. The study rated domestic cats as expressing high levels of dominance, impulsiveness, and neuroticism, characteristics they share with larger felines like the African lion. House cats also have high levels of anxiety, insecurity, tension, suspicion, and fear of people.
And now we cut to a live view of the laboratories where this study was done, and it's just dogs in lab coats.
Whereabouts they should be removed from the face of the earth.
Just walking around.
According to the Orlando Sentinel, where the study was published, it concluded domestic cats have a desire to kill humans and would likely do so if they were bigger and stronger.
Yep.
Wow.
There you go, Chick.
I knew it. They don't care.
Wow.
Not even that they don't care.
They want to kill you.
As soon as they get big, they're going to do it. And that one creepy cat, Mary Lynn Ricecup has a stand-up comedian actress.
She's a Savannah cat.
It's the creepiest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Awesome.
And they're like, have an ocelot coloring, and they're about the size of a giant dog.
They look like wild animals.
Yeah, it's no good.
And if you get them the correct breed down, they will follow you. They're like a dog. They are amazing, amazing animals.
But this article is saying your cat wants to kill you.
That's what the article's saying. I'm talking about Maryland.
Well, so they've got the big cat instincts in them.
Well, if there's a cat that's like a dog, then get the dog, okay?
I can't believe
I'm agreeing with Chick again.
Thank you.
But you can't leave a dog for a weekend. You can leave a cat for a weekend. They're fine.
Because they're sitting there plotting your death when you get back.
That's right. Put booby traps.
As soon as that door opens. Now, Ace, you have a cat.
I was telling Christy this morning, I have to watch my step when I come downstairs because she comes racing down in between my legs.
Uh-huh.
Trying to kill you.
She's trying to trip you.
I'm allergic to cats.
Really?
Yeah.
That sort of brought the show to a halt.
There's a lot of that's sort of my specialty.
There was sort of some rumbling laughter, and yeah. I was just about to say something like, "Hey, you know, the cat looks at the owner and goes, you call me Mr. Grumpy again, you a-hole. I'm going to kill you. I'm not Mr. Grumpy." So you're allergic to cats, huh? Then what happened?
Wow. Well, I didn't want to get away in the way of that Mr. Grumpy bit.
Attaboy!
Yeah. Right back Greg. At him,
Greg. How many years has this taken? Yeah. Give it back to him.
You're going
to
take that spider, huh?
Attaboy, spider.
Try saying
it. Hey, Tom, why don't you?
Attaboy, spider.
I am.
Are you allergic to crickets?
Ah, come on. Don't be hard on yourself. The grumpy thing wasn't that bad. But... I know. I when you're allergic to cats, like here's the thing: I'm not staying at your house if you got a cat, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, come stay with us. Nah, you guys got a cat. No. We got a room, and the cat doesn't go in the room. All right. First of all, he does. All right. Like you guys, you're not that vigilant about those rooms. Just because every now and then you're like, hey, get out of there. That's not how allergies work. And even if you do have a room, that doesn't sound like fun, right? I'm going to go to your house, just sit in a room. Hey, what's going on out there? It sounds like you guys are having fun outside the room. Every time you slide the Monopoly board under the door, the pieces fall off.
Yep, you're allergic to cats, all right. Oh, God, that's great. Comedian Greg Warren. A man who is a fine wrestler and has an allergy to little kitty cats.
Well, what happens if you meet a girl that has, I mean,
has
does that ever happen?
It has. And, it happened a while ago, and it had been a while, and I was like, I'm going to suck it up. I'm just going to suck it up. And the main symptom for my allergies is, like, my eyes just water like crazy, and I think she thought that I was getting way more emotional about sex. So I'm like, yeah.
What'd she say?
She's like, oh. I'm like,
it's only $50.
Yeah.
Give it back to him, Greg. Yeah. Give it to him.
75 times. No, like, yeah. It's, I mean, she's like, oh. I'm like, no, it's my allergies. That's why. She's like, oh, I didn't know that cats made you break out in hives too. I'm like, no, that's the sex. I get nervous.
I get nervous.
You're not going to like this story.
Greg Warren is our guest.
Earlier this year, we had a report from an animal shelter noting that adopting black cats was becoming unpopular. In fact, I tried to talk Ace into getting a black cat because there were a couple of them.
This was the selfie thing.
And he's
yeah,
black.
Because kittens don't show up. No. There was a cute black cat at the show. Never mind. They don't show up in selfies, so people don't
want them.
You
stick with your kind.
That's right.
Some people also view black
cats. That's why they made blonde cats.
Black cats is
a white cat and a black owner. Don't that beat all.
Not my lifetime.
I'm sorry.
Maybe we should come back to this.
Yes, or maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't.
Maybe some of us will be back.
Here it is. Mainly, the good news is more black cats are being adopted thanks to the movie Black Panther. There you go.
Oh.
So, because the original story, I remember the story from a couple months ago. The original story was that they were saying that humane societies were reporting that people didn't want to get black cats.
They don't show up in pictures.
Because they don't show up in selfies.
Right.
And also because
they're viewed as bad luck for a lot of people.
Sure. You know, don't get black cat.
Same with dogs. Black dogs, same thing.
They're really? Supposed to be bad luck, too?
Well, yeah. Or people are afraid of them.
You know, you'd never heard the black cat?
The black cat one? I haven't heard the black dog thing.
Yeah. People are afraid of black dogs.
You never heard of Zeppelin?
Black Dog.
What's the best Led Zeppelin album, Damone?
When it comes down to making out, put inside two of Led Zeppelin 4.
I'll have you know, in that movie.
Exactly. They play Kashmir and everybody. That is actually not on.
There you go.
Couldn't get the rights, huh? We'll come back with our black cat.
Okay.
The feline, not Ace. Mm-hmm. When we
but
return.
He'll be here.
Yes. This is the Bob and Tom Show.